Some chumash. This week's parasha is Parshas Bahalaischa. Parsh Bahalaischa is an amazing parasha. There are many yisoidos in this parasha. Let me put everyone on mute. Okay, we have many yisoidos in this week's parasha. Parshas Bahalaischa. The parasha begins with the menorah. Aaron HaKohen is invited to light the menorah. Rashi tells us why is Parshas Bahalaischa juxtaposed to the Parsha of the Nesiim. The reason why it's there is because when Aaron, when he saw that the Nesiim had the zchus to offer karbonos to inaugurate the Mishkan, and he was not given the opportunity. He had Chalisha Sadas. Hashem was Mephayis Aaron by telling him, Shalcha Gedola Mishalochem, She'ata Malik Umeitides Haneros. You will light the Neros. This was appeals to Aaron HaKohen. Okay. And then once we mention the lighting of the menorah, we go on and we describe exactly what the menorah looked like. It's one thing I want to point out over here and discuss very briefly. And that is the Ner Maravi, at least according to the way Rashi translates the Pasuk. Pasuk says, V'zemasa hamnora, Dabera Aaron v'yamarta elav b'haloscha saneros el mul towards p'nei hamnora ye'iru shivas haneros. Rashi learns that the translation of the word pnei is the center shaft. Okay, the center shaft of the menorah is called the pnei. And the six neros, the other six neros of the menorah, three on the right, three on the left, shall be tilted, shall be bent, and they should illuminate towards the center lamp. So the center lamp, in essence, is the ikar, is the primary ner, and the other six lamps are casting its light towards the center. Let me read you the words of Rashi. El mul pnei hamenorah, el mul, which means towards, ner ho'em tso'i, the middle branch, She'enoi bakonim, which is not called a branch, ella beguf shel menorah, yeiru shivas haneros, shisha, six shal sheishes hakonim, shloisha mizrachiyim, poinim lemul ho'emtzoi, the three on the east will be tilted towards the center, hapasila shebohen, Rashi explains that it's the wick, not actually the branch itself shall be tilted, but it's the wick, shall be directed in this direction, v'chein shloisha hama'araviyim, the three on the west, Rashi hapasilas lemul ho'emtzoi, v'lama, why would Hashem want us to do this? The answer is, k'dei shelo yo'ir, k'dei, now here are the, these are the words, k'dei shelo yo'imru, nobody should ever say, the reason why Hashem demanded from us that we build and make a menorah is to provide illumination inside of the Heichal. It's dark. It's dark inside. There are four layers of coverings inside the Ohel Moed. There is the wool, the Uriah is made from material. Then there were the goat skins. And on top of that, there were two layers of the Me'odamim, the Ortachash, and the Elim Me'odamim. Four layers, a ray of light was not able to penetrate through these four layers that sheltered what was inside from outside. It's pitch black dark inside. How then were the Kohanim able to see what was going on inside? Pitch black dark. So the solution is very simple. You have a menorah. If you have a menorah, the menorah will provide illumination and you can make your way inside. You can set up the shulchan. You can light. You can go into the Kodesh HaKadosh when Yom Kippurim when it was necessary. You can offer Ketores on the Mizbeach Hazav, you need to turn on the lights. That's the reason why we simply understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe Rabbeinu to light a menorah. That is 100% wrong. That's not the reason why. Hashem is the awe of the entire world. If the Shechina is resting in this makam, that automatically means that this makam is a makam of illumination. You don't need illumination. Why then is there a menorah? The menorah is symbolic. The menorah represents the Ar HaTorah. It represents whatever it represents. There are probably many interpretations of what this Ar represents. But one thing is for sure. It's not here to provide basic illumination that you can get from an incandescent bulb or a fluorescent bulb or an LED bulb. That's not the purpose. There was no light in the Mishkan. The Mishkan had a miraculous light. The menorah was here for a spiritual light. In order to make it crystal clear, that is what the purpose is. According to Rashi, it's a shocking thing what it says. We have an additional 6 neros. I mean, this is an incredible thing. If you take Rashi, if you want to take Rashi to the extreme, the only reason why the menorah has 7 neros, we don't need the 7 neros. We only need 1 ner. We have 6 additional neros that are set up in a way that violates every rule of global warming, of climate control, of optimization, and saving money, and in allocating our resources. We're going to violate every single rule. We're going to set up the menorah in such a way where instead of having the branches branch out to provide the maximum amount of illumination, we're actually going to waste. We're going to direct these 6 neros inward, have redundancy, provide less illumination in order to make it clear as day that the center light that's being lit is not being lit for the purpose of light. It's being lit, as Chazal say, Eidus Shehashechina Shoira B'Yisrael. That's an incredible chiddush. Now let me contrast that with the Rashbam, just to bring out this point. Contrast this with the Rashbam. The Rashbam does not like this pshat in Rashi. The Rashbam was Rashi's grandson and had a very big problem with what Rashi said. Because according to Rashi, the pasuk should not say, El mul pnei ha-menorah yeiru shivas ha-neiros. According to Rashi, it should say, El mul pnei ha-menorah yeiru sheishes ha-neiros. That towards the pnei, the center, shall the other 6 provide illumination. So the Rashbam, he says, Rashi, it doesn't make sense. How could you go sit that the pshat on the pasuk is that the 6 neiros on the side were tilted towards the center? Rabbi Yisai, 1 second. I lost you. 1 second. Rabbosai, hello, you hear me?
Now we do.
All right, I know I lost you. One second. One second. I lost you. Give me 1 minute.
Go back to the menorah.
All right, here I go again. One second. All right, back in business. Back in business. All right, sorry about that. Sorry about that. I forgot to plug in the computer this morning. And that's why we ran out of power and I lost you. All right, back in business. Question, why over here, according to the Rashbam, the Rashbam over here says, according to Rashi, Vayaskin Aaron, Vayaskin Aaron, Mul Pnei Hamnura Yerushavah Saneros. Why, according to Rashi, does it say in the Pasuk that towards the center shall all seven candles cast their light? It's not correct. Only six of the candles are casting their light towards the center. Why does it say the word seven? Therefore, the Rashbam disagrees, and he holds, Mul means the opposite side. And he understands that the menorah was set parallel to the Shulchan, and the purpose of lighting the menorah was to cast light on...
Yeah.
Sorry?
Oh, it's not just me? No. I don't hear I see him.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, now you hear me? Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. Okay, now we're good. Okay, I'm sorry. Let's get back. One more time. We have here the pasuk of here says Vayaskenar. The pasuk says Valosas Haneiros El Mul Pnei Hamenorah Yerushavah Haneiros. Rashi learns the mul is the center branch, and the other six branches shall be tilted, or at least the wick shall be tilted towards the center. There's a difficulty with this interpretation because it should then conclude Yeiru Sheishas Haneiros, not Shavas Haneiros. Why does it say seven? Only six lamps, six candles, six Silois are being directed towards the center. Why does the Pasuk say seven? It's inaccurate. Therefore, the Rashbam, Rashi's grandson, disagrees and understands, Mul does not mean the center branch. Mul means the opposite direction. It means the menorah was set up opposite the Shulchan, and the light of the menorah, the nearest of the menorah, were casting its light on the Lechem Haponim. The purpose of the menorah was to provide illumination for the Lechem Haponim. I remember once we discussed this. I don't want to discuss this, so that's not our topic. But let's go back to Rashi. Rashi says, no, there were seven lamps, and six lamps were geared towards the center. Why? Kidei shelo yoimru lo'oiru hutzarach. No one should make a mistake and think the reason why there was a menorah in the Mishkan was because it was pitch black dark. There were four layers that covered, sheltered what was inside from outdoors, which means that a ray of light did not penetrate into the inside of the Mishkan. There was absolutely no light. And it's a very big mystery how the Kohanim were able to do business inside of the Mishkan. How did they light the Ketores? How did they go into the Kodesh HaKadosh from Yom Kippurim? How did they prepare the Shulchan when there's no lights inside? It doesn't say anywhere they hang up how fluorescent lights inside of the Mishkan. How do they operate? The answer is, Chazal say, if the Ribbono Shel Olam was Mashre Shechina in the Mishkan, don't worry, Hashem can do, there was plenty of light in the Mishkan for them to operate. So why then is there a menorah? The menorah is Eidos Shehashchina Shoyle B'Yisrael. And in order to make it clear that it's Eidos, the other six lamps are not there to serve their own function. The six lamps are there purely to be tilted towards the center to give Chashivos, to show that this is not for the purpose of light, because if it was the purpose of light, it would branch out in the other direction to give more illumination. It's to show that it's not for illumination. It's instead testimony, Shehashchina Shoyle B'Yisrael. According to the Rashbam, no. The Rashbam says it was for illumination. It was to illuminate the Lechem upon him. So we have a major naftamini between the Rashbam and Rashi. According to the Rashbam, all seven candles independently provided a function. Each one gave off light. that was necessary. According to Rashi, six of the Neros were totally irrelevant. The only reason why they were there was to show that the center Ner is the Ikar, and that it's not for illumination. It's Edus Shehashchina Shoreh BeYisrael. It's a very big nafkamina, a whole different way of looking at the menorah, if the six branches are really serving a function or they're just there for an ulterior motive. And according to Rashi, has some very powerful words, Kidei Shelo Yoimru. Nobody in this world should make a mistake and think the purpose of the menorah was to provide illumination. It was set up in a way that was broke the rules of every engineering course and every electrical engineer or anyone that specializes in designing and optimizing light. It violated every single rule to show that this is not for the purpose of light. It's to show something spiritual. Kidei shelo yamu. I have a question for you. Here's the question. It says that at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, during the Churban Beis Rishon, I believe, but it could only be the Beis Rishon, when the Goyim, they came into the Kodesh HaKadosh, when Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuzaradan, when they came into the conquer the Beis HaMikdash, and they came to the Kodesh HaKadosh, they opened up the Kodesh HaKadosh, they saw inside there the Aron, and on top of the Aron they saw the Kruvim. And what did they say? Their jaw dropped and they said, what? This is what you have in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? You have idols? What exactly are Kruvim? What are Kruvim? Kruvim are Pesolim. They are objects made out of pure gold that are in the image of either angels or people or birds, whatever they are. This looks like a pesel, an avodah zara. And not only is there one, there are two. And not only there are two, one looks like a zohar, one looks like a nikeva, which alludes to something looks like there is ish v'isha. There are marital relations going on over here. In the Kodesh HaKadoshim, are you talking such a thing? Chazal make it very clear that the goyim were shocked, utterly shocked. This is what you're hiding in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and they made a mistake to think that the Jews really, they're a bunch of phonies, they're a bunch of fakers. In the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they worship idols. There are two psalim. Not only are they avodah zara, it's Gili Arayas, and they took it out and they paraded. It's like the Farish of Gemara. They paraded the Aron with the Kruvim through the streets and made big announcements. Look at what the Jewish people are really doing behind closed doors. Look at what they're doing. They're worshiping idols. They're engaging in this activity, which is forbidden, which is not proper. This is what it says in the Gemara. So the question is, why did Hashem allow such a thing? Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu say when you go in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you'll be in Aron, there should not be Kruvim. There should be something else. Kidei Shelo Yoimru. So that people don't come to the wrong conclusion. People should not make a mistake. We know that there is a problem with such a thing because later in generations, indeed people did say Yoimru. People said the Klal Yisrael, they worship idols. So just like when it comes to the menorah, we have this Rashi. Rashi says they were so super careful that the six neighbors should be tilted towards the center. Kidei shelo yoimru. And by the way, who got to see the menorah? Nobody got to see the menorah. The menorah was behind closed doors. The Kohanim, no one was allowed to go into the Heichal. Who saw the menorah anyway? It was locked up. Only the person who went and lit the menorah, he saw the menorah. The Kohen who went and he did the Keteris was done on the other end. When they brought the Lechem HaPanim, that was once a week. Who anyway saw the menorah? Anyway, no one saw the menorah. Who are you so concerned about? Kidei shelo yoimru. Who are you concerned about? Because maybe the word will get out that inside of the Heichal is a menorah and the menorah is Letzarech Ora, so people were going to make it known that the neighbors are tilted. Kidei shelo yoimru. And what about, so we're concerned. Yeah, and what about in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? There you got real problems. Because in the Kodesh HaKadoshim you have what looks like an Avodah Zarah. And Chazal and Tak, they ask the question, what is the difference between the Egel HaZohav and the Kruvim? Chazal asked this question. What's the difference? When they made an egel hazav, they had these very good kavanas. They weren't really worshipping the egel. They were using it as a means to be makir, the ribbono shel olam. No. It's avodah zara. What then is the difference between the egel hazav and the two objects of pure gold that hovered over the Kodesh HaKodesh, hovered over the Aron? It's also like an egel. What's the difference? You know what the answer is? Because this Hashem said is osur, and this Hashem said is mutter. That's the only difference. If not for Hashem saying that the Kruvim are mutter and the egel is osur, then you're right. There's really no difference between the Kruvim that hovered in on top of the Aron, the Kodesh HaKodesh, and the egel hazav. This is osur and this is mutter. That is the only difference between the two. That's the case. So just like when it comes to the menorah kadesh shelo yoimru, we have to bend backwards to be super duper careful that no one should come make a mistake and do bizarre things. At the kachan have six additional nerois that serve no function whatsoever other than to make it clear as day that the center shaft, that center ner, is edus. It's not for illumination. We're going to have six more neros just to fulfill the principle kadesh lo yomru in the kodesh hakadoshim. Don't you think there should be also kadesh lo yomru? And the goyim should not come one day and take out the kruvim and parade them in the streets all over the world and say the Jews are a bunch of fakers. Look what we found in the Kodesh HaKodashim. We found two idols, and not only is it bad enough to bow down to an idol, these two idols look like they're engaging in Gilui Arayos. What happened to Kodesh Lo Yomru? So you know what the answer is? The answer is, you have to understand, the Aron represents Torah. The Menorah represents Torah. The Aron represents Torah Shebichsav, and the Menorah represents Torah Shebalpeh. A Jew walks in the street. Should he apologize for the fact that he's Jewish? Should he be embarrassed? Should he be ashamed that he's a Jew? Should he hide his Jewishness? Why would you want to hide your Jewishness? Why, when you walk in the street, should you go and you cover yourself up and have a secular name? Because if I'm really a Jew, if I'm really with the program, what am I doing here in America? I should be in Eretz Yisrael. Why is there Golos? Why are we living in Chutz Liaretz? Why are we in Eretz Yisrael? There are problems. We have issues. So because we have issues, we're not looking for trouble. We hide ourselves. Or maybe not. You have to be proud. I'm a Jew. I have nothing to hide, and it couldn't be a greater privilege in this world than declaring to the world, I'm Jewish. What is it? How do you balance that very delicate balance? And the answer is Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. There are elements in our life we couldn't care less. Couldn't care less about what the goyim say. In the Kodesh HaKodashim is the Aron, is Hashem's Matana to Klal Yisrael, is the Torah Shebichsav, is the basic foundation of Yadus. Hashem created Klal Yisrael. He gave us the Torah. It is the source of Emunah. Oh, but in the Kodesh HaKodashim, it looks like the Egel Hazav. How are you going to explain that to the Goyim? It looks like they're engaging in Gili Arayas. Who cares what they think? Who cares? Who gives a hoot? We're proud. Kidei shelo yoimru, I couldn't care less what you have to say. I'm proud to be a Jew. In the Kodesh HaKodashim is the Aron. On top of the Aron are the Kruvim. The Shechina is resting, it's hovering. It's a mystical, symbolic expression of Hashem's Chiba for Klal Yisrael. You God, you don't understand? I don't care you don't understand. I have emunah pshuta in the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's nothing that makes me more proud of who I am. And you don't, I don't, I'm not, doesn't even enter my mind to be concerned about what goes through your mind. Kidei Shel Yoimru, who cares? But in the Heichol, where you have the menorah, which represents Torah Shebal Peh, it represents your hanhogos. It represents the way you conduct yourself, the way you understand the Torah, the way you fulfill the Torah, the way you engage in society with the world and with one another, then the Torah says, make on this menorah 6 neiros for no other purpose other than kidei shelo yayru. Even though no one's going to see it anyway, because it's locked up in the heichal behind closed doors, and anyway no one gets to see it, doesn't matter. V'yisem nikiyim me'Hashem umi Yisrael, and by extension from the entire world. Yes, kidei shelo yayru. When you conduct yourself as a Jew in this world, it has to be with an acknowledgement that dirocheha darchei noyam v'chol nisivoseha shalom, and a person should be concerned not to make a chil Hashem, but to mekadesh Hashem. Yes, you have to take into consideration what they say out there in the Welt. There's a balance. There are two kelim that represent the Torah HaKadosha, the Oroin and the Menorah. The Oroin is the basics. It's the foundation of the world of Klal Yisrael, who we are. It's the Matana Shebochar Banu Mikol Ho'amim V'nosan Lanu Es Torah So. There is no shame. There's nothing to discuss. There is no principle of Kidei Shelo Yoimru. Too bad for you if you don't understand. I'm a proud Jew. But then there's the menorah that also represents the Torah HaKadosha. It represents the Torah HaKadosha in a different dimension. In our hanhogos, in how we conduct ourselves, in the halacha, in how we understand the Torah, how we live the Torah, how we interact with one another, how we interact with this world. You got to be careful. There the Torah says, don't just run around like chickens without heads, and don't take into consideration what the goyim are thinking, what your other chaverim, other segments of Klal Yisrael think about you. You have to be sensitive. You have to be mekadesh Hashem. You have to be careful not to make a chil Hashem. There's a principle here in the words of Rashi, kidei shelo yoimru. It has to be with sensitivity. Okay, let's go on to another idea.
I want to say something.
Yeah.
It's amazing that the second time that Rashi says kidei shelo yoimru, in the same parasha,
yeah,
he says shu itpalel for Miriam.
Ah. At the very end, right?
Why?
For them, right. Right. At the end of the parasha, you have another example.
Nobody saw it. Entered the Mishkan.
Excellent. Okay, let me show you with another. This is a short idea. I have a short idea at the very end of the parasha.
Even if they don't see it, but it's written. Somebody will say,
it's a very important yisod. But not by the Aron. The Aron were not concerned kidei shlo yomru, even though the Gemara explicitly says the Goyim was shocked. They paraded the Aron in the streets, mocking Klal Yisrael. Oh, what about kidei shelo yoimru? No. There are elements in Yadus we're not ashamed. And there are elements that, yes, we have to be very sensitive. Kidei shelo yoimru. There's a balance. The balance has to be drawn very delicately. End of the parasha. This is one of the favorite psukim in the entire Torah. Midois toivais. Moshe Rabbeinu, v'ish Moshe. Onav me'oid, when Miriam spoke Lashon Rabbi Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, V'ish Moshe, onav me'oid, mikol ha'adam asher al p'nei ho'adama. Question is, why does the Pasuk have to say, V'ish Moshe was onav me'oid, mikol ha'adam? Let me find the Pasuk, the exact Pasuk. V'ish Moshe, it's in Perik Yud Aleph, Pasuk Gimel, V'ish Moshe, onav me'oid, Mikol ha'adam, asher al pnei ha'adam. What does that mean simply? Moshe was the most humble. There was never a human being, never a human being that was more humble than Moshe Rabbeinu, all of mankind. What does it mean, humility? That's a different topic of discussion, what the definition of humility is. First, define humility, and then acknowledge that in the span of world history, there was never a man that excelled in achieving the meaning of humility like Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the Pshutei Shel Mikra. I want to show you with a drush I came across in the Sefer. It's not exactly what it says there, but this is the idea. And it's very, it struck a chord with me. Many times you see people who, you know, you know these people. You know a person. You know, you live with him. You daven with him. You study by him. And this person, you know, you appreciate who he is. You know he has milos that are rare and far and hard to find. He has certain talents, koichos hanefesh, that the average person does not have. And this person, you know, he's driving his car, he gets pulled over by a police officer. Police officer looks at him. Who are you? What are you doing? You're speeding, you went through a red light. The police officer looks at him. You're just another Orthodox Jew. Dime a dozen. Dime, I deal with Orthodox Jews the whole day. You're nothing special. You're a regular person. Here's your ticket. Goodbye, good luck. A fellow like this, he goes to a new community. He lives in Flatbush, let's say. He goes to Passaic. He goes to Lakewood. He goes to Muncie. He goes to Chicago, to Los Angeles. He walks into Shul. They look at him. You're from New York? From Brooklyn? Sit over there. Don't get too close to us. All right. So this person, he's sitting there. They're not giving him any special treatment. Nothing. They treat him like they treat any Tom, Dick, and Harry. What keeps this guy going? What keeps him going? Why does he tolerate the insult to his greatness? You know who I am. I learned Shas 10 times. I know Shulchan Aruch. I'm a billionaire. I'm the smartest guy in the world. My IQ is above you. Anything you can do, I can do 10 times. Don't you know who I am? You should roll out for me the red carpet. You should give me shlishi. You should come and bow down to me. How come no one is coming and treating me, giving me the attention that I deserve when I come here to Los Angeles? When I'm in New York and Brooklyn, my shul there, I get shlishi. There, everyone, I walk in the door, they stand up for me. There, people come and they kiss me and they bow down to me. Here, I walk into Los Angeles, no one can give a hoot. No one gives me a second look. So what does the person say to himself? I'll tolerate the insult to my kavod because there's another place in this world where at least there they appreciate me. It may be true that here they don't appreciate me, but there is somewhere a place in the world where they do appreciate me. And that's what keeps me going. Sometimes in your own community they don't appreciate you, but at least your wife appreciates you. And if your wife has no respect for you, at least your children have respect for you. Or if the children have no respect for you, at least the janitor has respect for you. There's always a person that you draw from, or a situation. Ain Adam.
How about if the dog has respect for you?
Maybe that also. Maybe that's also enough. Chazal say, Ain Adam she'ain loy sha'a. Every person has their moment. Their moment. That moment, that person, that sense of appreciation is the fuel that keeps you going. Because you have to really ask yourself, if you live in a world where absolutely no one has any appreciation of who you are, do you really want to continue to exist? It's not so simple. Every person in the back of their mind, even though I'm not getting what I deserve. Look, I'm the greatest person in this world. But there are a few people out there that have respect for me. And that's deep, deep down what keeps me going. Chazal said that Moshe Rabbeinu, he was able to live in this world. V'ish Moshe onov me'od mikol ha'adam. Moshe Rabbeinu conducted himself where he actually felt no one appreciates me. It's not that, okay, Klal Yisrael, they don't appreciate me. Look at Korach. Look what Korach did to me. Korach had a lot of followers. Almost everyone wanted to join Korach. But at least my wife, Tzipora, at least she appreciates me. Or at least my brother and my sister, at least they appreciate me. Or at least, I don't know, this guy appreciates me. There's got to be someone. There's always someone who you lord over and you're not humble. You don't view yourself to be the onav from that person. Onav, again, it's very hard to define the precise definition of humility. But let's now, just for the sake of simplicity, translate what onav as meaning a person, meaning that you're not a subordinate. You're not a tofel to somebody else. Moshe Rabbeinu, maybe he can convince himself that 99% of the population doesn't really appreciate who he is. But there are a few people out there in the world. Aaron appreciates who he is. His wife, his sister, Nadav Aviv. You'll find a couple of people that will appreciate who Moshe Rabbeinu is. And that will keep him going. The pasuk here says something very amazing. That doesn't mean that mankind, the nature, the degree of his humility. It means, what application does that have for us? If that's the only pshat in the pasuk, why is that pasuk? Why is it relevant for us? Torah is not just telling us articles and just telling us information. The information that it's telling us is relevant for us to imitate. And what the pasuk here is saying is Moshe Rabbeinu lived in a society, and in the society that he lived in, he really was able to humble himself where there wasn't even one person whom he revealed himself to. Anav me'oid mikol ha'odam in his surroundings. Every single person he convinced that person, you're better than me. Everyone. There wasn't even one person, not his wife, not his children, not his siblings, not his neighbors, who Moshe Rabbeinu, here is where I get a high. The whole week I'm a shmata. But when I come Shabbos, by Shabbos, Shalosh Shudis, the rabbi asked me to lead the Zmiros. Ah, I live a whole week for that few moments where I lead the Zmiros. No, Moshe did not have even that. There wasn't one person in the entire, it's in his world, where when Moshe walks in, I am Moshe. You know that. You appreciate that you are my subordinate. He didn't look at it like that. Even when a child walked in, yeah, how you doing, Moshe, whatever it means, it means. That's the lesson for us. Don't try to seek out, there's no person in this world that is appreciated the way he should be appreciated. Certainly not by 99% of society. But we do take pride that at least 1% of society. Listen, who pays the bills here? I pay the bills here, so you have some respect. Okay, there's something called respect, and there's something called gaiva. I may pay the bills, but doesn't mean that I'm God. I lord over you. V'ish Moshe onav me'od mikol ha'odam in his environment. There wasn't even one person, this person I'm the boss over. That is a lesson of humility for all of us. Okay, let's go to another idea. Another short idea. There's a very fascinating Rashi. Rashi here at the end of the parash, V'atzaber Miriam v'Aaron b'Moshe al oides ha'isha kushis asher lokach, ha'isha kushis lokach. Moshe Rabbeinu, he separated himself from his wife Tzipora. According to Rashi, it seems that he gave her a divorce. He divorced her. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was on standby 24-7 for the Hashras Hashchina. He had to be on standby, therefore he could not be married, because that means he would have to engage in Derech Eretz, and he would have to go to Mikvah, and that would be a delay to receive the Shechina, which was desperately necessary for the entire Klal Yisrael. So what happened? Miriam was not very pleased with what he did. And she says, Vatidaber Miriam. Miriam, she spoke Lashon Hara to Aaron. Vatidaber Miriam v'Aharon, Aaron as well, b'Moshe, against Moshe. Moshe, you think it's a tzaddik that you have to be on standby and you have to get divorced from your wife. Vayoimru, the next pasuk says, they said, Harak, are you the only one to whom Hashem speaks? Ach bim Moshe diber Hashem. Halegam banu diber. Vayishma Hashem. Hashem was very upset. Hashem is the most patient being in the world. Yet, here Hashem had no patience. The pasuk says, Vayem Hashem pisoim. Suddenly, I'm not waiting 1 second to correct this evil. I'm not going to wait even a mashu. Vayomer Hashem pisoim. How dare you say such a thing about Moshe Rabbeinu? Vayomer Hashem pisoim el Moshe v'el Aaron el Miriam. All of you get together. I want to give you some musa. V'chulu v'chulu. Wait a minute. Let's clarify something over here. Tell me, you never said Lashon Hara. Everyone here is such a tzaddikal. You never said some Lashon Hara. No one ever spoke Lashon Hara. No one ever said Avak Lashon Hara. When you speak Avak Lashon Hara, you see lightning come out of the sky to strike you down. Big deal. So they said some Lashon Hara. So they spoke Lashon Hara. No. The Chofetz Chaim. You'll take out the Sefer Chofetz Chaim. You learn Hilchos Lashon Hara. Who's not nichshol in avak lashon hara? The ganze Welt, Chazal say the whole world is nichshol in avak lashon hara. All of a sudden, the Ribbono shel Olam, this I cannot tolerate. Oh, they spoke avak lashon hara. This was like on the lowest level of lashon hara possible. What exactly they said, this and that. You go look at the mefarshim, and Hashem is intolerant. I mean, come on, you don't nuke. You don't go and the President of the United States doesn't go and tell his assistant who's carrying the football to launch the nuclear codes, to get the nuclear codes to nuke a nation because he got insulted when he had a phone call with a head of state. He didn't treat him with the full respect that the President of the United States deserves. He's not going to go tell his assistant, where are the nuclear codes? We're going to nuke this nation. You don't do that. What's going on over here? Just because they spoke Lashon Hara, big deal. Everyone talks Lashon Hara a little bit here and there. Rashi really alludes to this question. And Rashi says something which is amazing. Rashi says, in this Tupsukim, there are two words. There are two words part of the conversation. The first word is, Va'tidaber Miriam. Ve'aharon. The word is dibur. And then in the next pasuk, where they continue their conversation and they compare themselves to Moshe, it says, Vayoymiru Amira. Vayoymiru, Harak, Ach, B'Moshe, Diber Hashem, Halei Gambanu Diber. Rashi here elaborates in very great detail, what's the chilik between the word Dibur and the word Amira? Rashi right here. Rashi says, on this pasuk, let me read you the words. Va'tedaber ein dibur b'chol makom elo lashon koshe, harshness. V'cheinu oimer dibur ho'ish adoni adonei ha'aretz itanu koshois. Yosef, he spoke with us koshois. And then Rashi says v'ein amira b'chol makom elo lashon tachanunim, delicate, calm, comforting. Don't harm him. Delicate. We know that when it comes to men, you speak harsh. Noshim, you have to speak delicately. Men, you speak harshly. Rashi is elaborating upon this. What is Rashi really telling us? Rashi is telling us, this is a drush, he's telling us, Hashem was not upset that Aaron and Miriam spoke Lashon Hara. So no one's perfect. People make mistakes, they speak Lashon Hara, Avak Lashon Hara. What Hashem was upset was double standard. When they spoke about Moshe, they said, Vatidaber Miriam ve'Aaron b'Moshe. Koshois, they were very tough. Moshe, you're a bad boy. You divorce your wife because Hashem comes and speaks to you. Aloidois ho isho hakushis asher lokoch ki isho hushis lokoch. Oh, and then they said, Vayoimru. Os, harak, ach, b'moshe diber Hashem. Haloi, gam bonu diber Hashem. Diber. Hashem speaks to us. So when Hashem speaks to us, then we go to mikvah, and we're ready very quickly to receive his message. And then when Hashem finishes speaking, we engage in Darko Shalom. But when they spoke about themselves, they used a Loshen Tachanunim. They were very delicate. When they spoke about Moshe, very tough. They demanded from Moshe Rabbeinu the letter of the law. Yikoyev Hadin Esohar. Vatidaber Miriam Va'aray. Bimoshe. But when they spoke about Haloi Gam Bono Gam. Gam onu gam bonu diber oh vayoyime vayoyimru. They spoke about themselves. You know, we're human beings. We have different standards. There was a double standard. For Moshe, they were nasty. For themselves, we go easy. We go easy on ourselves. We're very makele. We can follow leniencies, the lighter side of life. The pasuk concludes, Vayishma Hashem. What did Hashem hear? Hashem didn't hear the Lashon Hara. Who cares? Lashon Hara? That's an old story. Open up a newspaper, they'll tell you all about Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara, again, Lashon Hara, again. I heard about it, they non-stop. The Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation. Vayishma Hashem. Hashem heard that when they spoke to Moshe, they used the word Vatidaber. And when they spoke about themselves, they said Vayoimru. Hashem heard that there was a double standard. For yourself, I do this. But for you, we do something very different. Why are you different? Why are you holding someone else to a different set of rules than you demand of yourself? If you want to go easy on yourself and you want to use the word vayoyimru, l'shoyim tachanunim, so why don't you be melamed zuchus on Moshe Rabbeinu and speak about Moshe Rabbeinu b'l'shoyim tachanunim? Be kind to Moshe. Be melamed zchus. Maybe there's a reason why Moshe Rabbeinu has to be Pirish. And if you want to be nasty to Moshe Rabbeinu and you want to say Vatidaber Miriam the Aaron be Moshe, you want to hold Moshe to a very high standard, so maybe you're wrong. So maybe you also should get divorced. If it's takachu the gam banu diber, so maybe you also should not be married. Maybe also you should be divorced. What's this double standard? What's the double standard? What's going on over here? Be consistent. If you want to, you don't want to be melamed zuchus on Moshe Rabbeinu, then don't be melamed zuchus on yourself. And if you want to be melamed zuchus on yourself, you have reasons, so be melamed zuchus on Moshe Rabbeinu. This is what it means, Vayishma Hashem. Hashem didn't hear what they said. Because you know something? It doesn't even say in the pasuk what they said. Pasuk doesn't even say anything. We have to go and dig deep into Midrashim to figure out, what happened over here? What do they say? Oh, it was Lashon Hara. What Lashon Hara? What's going on? What do they say? Doesn't say what Hashem. All it says is, doesn't say, garnished. What's going on? What Hashem heard is what it says in the pasuk. What it says in the pasuk is, Moshe vatedaber, and by me it's vayoimru. Oh, double standard. This I will not tolerate. I will not tolerate. Even though Hashem has all the patience of the world, from beginning of time to the end of time, plus a lot more, vayoimer Hashem pisoim. This has to come to an end. Double standard is in as not acceptable. Okay, let's go to another idea. And by the side, this week, I'm going to wind down with this. What I'm telling you now is very controversial. I'm getting into a lot of trouble. Not really, but who knows? This is where I want to bring out a point, which really is a contradiction to everything I just said. It's going to be really a contradiction to what I just told you now about double standard. Okay, Elu v'Elu. This week was a horrible week. It was a horrific, it was despicable what we saw this week. It's just unsettling to see a group of people, African Americans, who have risen up and rebelled against the host country with brazen chutzpah and the total insensitivity, disrespect, chutzpah noira, what we've witnessed this group of people do this week to this country. They literally demanded that the whole world bow down to them. Literally. Are you talking such a thing? To literally bow down to these people. To bow down to them. They are our superiors. Every politician was terrorized into bowing down. And now, if you read the news, finally, some of the police officers who did kneel to them as a gesture of just to keep them quiet are openly saying, you know, when I bowed down, I didn't believe in bowing down to you. I did it because, you know, min hanimus. Had I known what would become, I would never have bowed down. They have different, all these people now, these police officers and chief of police are all saying, I have charata gemura. What's going on over here? What this has led to? What's going on over here? Look at these people. Only not that long ago, they were slaves. Where did they come from? Canaan. These are Avodim. They were slaves. They live in Africa. They had literally nothing. Nothing. They didn't even have clothing. Zero. They came to this country, and now, over time, they have everything. Loy chosar klum. They're lacking nothing. They have food. They have shelter. They have benefits, entitlements. They have medical treatment. They get the same medical treatment as the President of the United States of America. Sometimes even better. Loy chosar klum. They live in a country of freedom. Every opportunity is available to them, even to become the President of the United States. Loy chosar klum. And the chutzpah, the azus panim, to rise up and to demand the world should bow down to them. People who come from slaves, nothing of nothing, and have been given chesed, have recipients of the ultimate chesed. How dare you? How dare you? Go back where you came from. Go back to Africa. How dare you? What kind of azus pun to terrorize a country? Every politician has to watch what comes out of their mouth, and they'll openly admit to you now, they don't really want to say these things. They just have to guard themselves because they don't want there to be a rebellion. There's such a chaos. Look what they're capable of doing, these people. To go to Ad Kedei Kach, they have to defund the police department, the NYPD. Ad Kedei Kach. Ish Esrei Chayim below. There'll be chaos. The world will. There'll be literally cannibalism in this country. And they have to say these things. It's just not to be believed. It's mamish not to be believed. And we're sitting here, and we are watching all this. We're watching this. Chazal say everything that happens in this world happens because of Klal Yisrael to teach them, to guide them, to give Musar, to enlighten them, to instruct them. This week's parasha is the parasha of the Misloinenim. Some very sad psukim in this week's parasha. Klal Yisrael was in the Midbar. They had everything. Everything. They had Mon. They had the Be'er. Anani HaKavod. They had the Torah. What did Klal, what were they lacking? Nothing, nothing. Everything you can possibly want, you had in the Midbar. And what happens? Vayihi ha'am. What does the Pasuk say? Pasuk says they complained. Let me read you the words of the Pasuk. The Pasuk is, Vayihi ha'am kimis oininim ra bi'oznei Hashem. They complained. It's not enough. It's not enough. They cried out and they said, Zocharnu es hadoga, ah, the delicious sardines we had back in Egypt. I remember the cucumbers, the kishum and the avtichim, v'yes echotzir, v'yes habitzolim, v'yes hashumim, v'yato nafshenu, our neshama yivesha, ein kol. We have nothing. Bilti el haman einenu, except for these wafers. This is a horrific expression of kafui toif. Klal Yisrael committed in the desert a rebellion against the Ribbono Shel Olam that is beyond belief, beyond belief. How can you do this? Hashem, who are we? Who are we? We are slaves. Avifkal ha'agoda, avodim hayinu lefaro b'mitzrayim. We were slaves. We were living in Africa. Nothing. Zero. They took the children, they used them as bricks. Even in Africa, they don't do that. We come from nothing. We were slaves. Mitchila oivde avoyde zora hoyu avoseinu. Nothing. That's the Haggadah. I'm not making this up. That's what it says in the Haggadah. The Malachim said, Ribbonish, what are you doing? You're taking these people out? Halolu of the Avodah Zarah, halolu of the Avodah Zarah. What's going on over here? What's going on? The Malachim, they know what they're talking about. Where do we come from? We're slaves. Avodah min l'faro, of the Avodah Zarah. And Hashem gave us everything. And what do? We spit back in His face. Chas v'shalom. Vayihi ha'om ki misloinim ra b'yenei Hashem. What a chait. It's not to be believed. And Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know what to do. He scrambles. All the Mefarshim explain. Hashem says, authority. Assemble a Sanhedrin. Teach these people. Give them an education. Assemble a Sanhedrin. You know what the solution is. Esfili shivim mish mizignei ha'om. Authority. Lay down the law. Yikoyf Adina, put these people in their place. Law and order. What is a Sanhedrin? A Sanhedrin carries out justice. A Sanhedrin is responsible for the education of the society. Education, law, and justice. You can't let these people go and just run over you. Who are these people anyway? They were slaves in Egypt. They were with Avodah Zarah. I gave them everything you can possibly imagine. And this is what they do? This is how they talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Charnu es Hadoga, we want the cucumbers. Are you talking such a thing? All of this is happening. This is this week's parasha. Ha'afeich ba dukulaba. We're sitting here and we're literally stunned to watch the African-American part of this country rise up and rebel and do exactly what we did in Egypt. We're just watching a show. When we're watching the news this week, we're just reading the parasha. And you know who they are? That's us. That's what we did in the desert. No different. No different. Slaves of the Avodah Zarah who have been given everything and have the chutzpah noira to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nafshenu Yivesha, Ein Kol, we have nothing. We were those people. What we have watched in front of our eyes this week, the chutzpah noira of these people who have everything that they can possibly have. It's the envy of every person of this world to be a citizen of the United States of America, to have the benefits, the protection, and everything that comes along with it, the opportunity and the freedom that this country provides them to do what they have done this week. It's not to be believed. It is to be believed because we did the same thing in Egypt. And what is the Ribbono Shel Olam telling us? Watch out. It's a very powerful message to us. We did exactly what they did. Make no mistake. We did exactly the same thing. And the purpose of learning this is don't repeat your mistakes. Unfortunately, there's a tendency in our community to complain, to demand more entitlements, total lack of insensitivity to other people. What's the big deal if you put on a mask in shul? A guy is afraid whether he's right, he's wrong, he's nervous. So if he's nervous, so satisfy him. So put on your mask. You couldn't care less. You hold it as a holding as an Irish guy. Good. But this guy is sittering. So have some sensitivity. You have everything here. What are you missing? What are you missing? It bothers me. I saw yesterday. I'm very well aware that all complaining. I told you it's going to be a contradiction to what I just said before. But a double standard. It's true. Hashem doesn't tolerate double standards among us. But the goyim, don't ever forget. Halacha biyadua, Esav soine Yaakov. They hate us. There will always be a double standard as long as we're in Golis. The question, though, is where should we fight? Which battle should we pick? There are a lot of battles that Jews, especially Orthodox Jews, need to fight. There are many battles, but you can't fight every battle. You got to pick. You got to pick what's important. Yeah, you have to pick. Don't pick the wrong battles. Tell me. I'm just curious. I saw yesterday on the news the parks. It's an avlo. It's a rishus. It's a double standard without any question. The mayor, like mamish, nitrifadaita, what he was saying there. It doesn't make one bit of sense. Nitrifadaita. The protest, he's in love with these people. Meshuga. The park. Oh, no way. Chas v'sham to open up a park. No way. So what do? Get on the radio. Start screaming. I saw yesterday the children, they made a march, shut off traffic, they shut down traffic. You know, you need a permit to do that. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to go march without making a march and shut down traffic and annoy people unless you have a permit from the city. No. So the children got together. Children's lives also matter, and they marched because the city is nasty. They're wicked, double standard. They let them demonstrate and destroy, but they don't let us go to the park. You're 100% right. 100%. It's a double standard. It's an old news. Halacha biyadua Esav soine Yaakov. But Rabbi Sai, is this really our battle? Is this really? Listen, in 2 weeks, the park will be opened. We all know that. Give it another 2 weeks. Guarantee it will be open. Is this really where we have to make a lot of noise? Is this really our calling in life? We're in entitlements. The government has given us everything. Okay, Baruch Hashem, Corona, there was food, there was supplies. The government went with all the mishagasim and all the politics that's beyond belief. No one would believe some. But the bottom line is, the government printed money that doesn't exist to keep this world going on. In other countries, we'd all be dead. If we were living in a third world country, we'd be dead by now. So after everything is said and done, we have mon in this country. We have a lot of mon. Our mon is even better than the mon that they had in the desert. We can really taste it. Is this really our battle to go fight about a playground? When in 2 weeks from now it'll be open, to make so much noise and demand that we should be just like the Goyim? I don't know, listen, it's my opinion. I know other people maybe will disagree. You'll say you're giving them one thing, they'll come the next, who knows what's going to be tomorrow. Listen, this is not Warsaw Ghetto. It's not the war, we're not in the Warsaw Ghetto over here. They're not coming over here to kill us here. We have crazy politicians who have literally lost their minds. We know that, but let's not be like them. We saw this week such ugliness, such nastiness, such brazen chutzpah. And you know something? We did this. We did the exact same thing. And Hashem is showing this to us and telling us, are you any different? Are you any different? You don't belong in America. You belong in Eretz Yisrael. You're in Galus. You're Bali Avera. You're Bali Avera. What's all the entitlements about? Behave yourself. Have some Derech Eretz. Have some Derech Eretz. You know, behave yourself over here. So they're not nice to you? Yeah, we know that. Halacha b'yadu Esav Sonei Yaakov. Know where to fight your battles. Know what to pick. Humble yourself. Be appreciative of what you do have. Other people, we're better than them. We learned the lessons. We're zoiche to have the Torah HaKadosha. We have a daf to go spend our time with. They have nothing to do with themselves. We have what to do. People have what to do. This, that. Klal Yisrael is busy. They have things you can do with yourself, whether you want to have entertainment, whether you want to learn, whether you want to do this. What's all the mishagas? What's all the fighting about? Learn the lessons of the parsha. Don't be like these animals. Don't behave in such a despicable way. They're ingrates, they're selfish, it's disgusting. It should trigger within us a response to go in the opposite direction, to be appreciative of what we have, not to complain, not to be from the misoinenim. With that, Rabbi Yisai, I leave you. May you all have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos. Be well.
Thank you. That was quite interesting.
Shukayach, Father Levine.
My pleasure.